Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just come before you, Father. Our hearts are open to receive, Father God, all that you have for us, Lord. Father, we thank you that you're good and that yes. your word is always true, Father.
Thank you,
regardless of what we see, what we face, Father, what we hear. Father, we thank you that your word always leads us and guides us, Lord, and shows us the way, shows us the path from darkness unto light, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you said that you are light and in you there's no darkness, Father. So, Lord, we thank you for the light of your word, that the light of your truth of your word that is being established in our hearts, Father God. As your word declares, the entrance of your word gives us light. It allows us to see, Father, where we are going, Father, even in the midst of darkness, Father. So, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who also helps us, Lord. And, Father, we just bless you tonight, Lord Jesus. We just bless your people who are here tonight, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we just yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit tonight, the teacher of the church. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. And everyone say
amen.
Amen and amen. Well, good to see you all tonight. Praise God. Well, tonight I want to exhort you and to build you up in your spirit, man. Amen. And tonight we'll be talking specifically about developing a strong spirit. Developing a strong spirit. Now, notice I said developing a strong spirit. So I don't know. I know we're all on different levels, but we are on the path of developing a strong spirit. Amen. How many of you can say I'm not the? My spirit is much stronger than I was last year. So we are in the process of developing a strong spirit, right? And being here tonight have positioned you to. You know, when I look at that the word developing, well. Let's skip that. I'm getting ahead of myself. But let's see. Now, as a born-again believer, I figure that everyone's born again, right?
Amen. Amen.
When we say a born-again believer, what we're saying is your spirit has been born again or regenerated. That word regenerated means to be recreated. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, if anyone be in Christ, yeah, in relationship, in fellowship, and communion with him, that person becomes a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. So you have been recreated in your spirit man, right? So we can say that as a born-again believer, you are tripart as well. You are, being that you're born again, you don't have a spirit. You are a spirit.
Yes.
Right? You are a spirit because you've been born again. You have a soul, and you live in a physical body. So when we're talking about developing your spirit, that's what we're talking about. That man that has been recreated, born again. And your spirit man is the one that communicates with God, and God communicates with your spirit, right? That's the one that the Holy Spirit, in fact, when you are born again, I heard this pastor say, you have just one spirit, because the Holy Spirit is predominant in your life. He's in full control of your spirit. Does that make sense? So we'll be talking about developing a strong spirit. Now, we want to go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. We're going to look at that scripture. And I'm reading from the Amplified Translation. And if you don't have one, just follow or just listen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. And it says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain. Now listen to that. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Now remember last year I told you guys when you do a Bible study, use the word SOAP, the acronym SOAP. Yes. You have the scripture, the observation, the application, and prayer. It's real simple. You know, when you look at the scripture, you look at it, okay, this is the scripture. Now, I'm observing it. And what I'm observing here, it says, a strong spirit. Now, when I look at a strong spirit, I think of somebody who's physically strong, who goes to the gym and works out. You know, an athlete that is strong physically. You know, that's what I observe. And a strong person who goes out to the gym, you know, that person, you look at them, you go, wow, they look strong. They must be strong because they're physically strong, right? So when you bring that into the realm of the spiritual part, it says a strong spirit of a man sustains him. Now, that word sustain means to support, to supply, to nourish, to keep going, to help. Notice that. When you have a strong spirit, what it does is it sustains you through pain, all kinds of pain, emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, because that your spirit is strong. Strong, it's built up. The Message translation says, a healthy spirit conquers adversity. A healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed or weak? Now, think about this. When you go to, if any one of you go to a routine checkup at the doctor's, the very first thing the nurses do before you even get to see your health care physician is what do they do? Yeah, they check your vital signs. They take all your vital signs, right? Why? Because vital signs are clear indicators of a strong or weak physical condition. Yeah, they check your vital signs, your blood pressure, your oxygen level in your finger, your weight, all of these things, you know? And in the same way, we also have spiritual vital signs. And some of it indicate a strong spirit, but others can also reveal a weak spiritual condition. Now, if that weak spiritual condition is left undetected or unchecked, did you know that a weak spirit will prevent you or each one of us from receiving all that God has for us? And it will prevent us from living in the fullness of what God desires for each and every one of us. And when I was writing that a weak spirit will prevent me from receiving all that God has for me, and it will prevent me from living in the fullness of what God desires for me, I thought about, wow, why is that? A weak spirit doesn't have the having done all but stand. You know, Paul tells us in Ephesians, after you put on the whole armor of God, that you may stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all and stand, after you've done all that. A weak spirit will not stand. A weak spirit is not fortified. A weak spirit will buckle when life pressures come, right? That weak spirit will not stand against the forces of the devil, the darkness. That person will buckle and succumb to the affairs of the life. I think we've all been there. And that's why we need to develop a strong spirit. A weak spirit doesn't have the fortitude. It will succumb and fold to the pressures of life Notice that a weak spirit won't press in. It won't press through. It won't press through the high calling things of God. Yeah. A weak spirit will not do what it takes to see God's promises come to pass. Yeah. But notice a strong spirit believes God. How many of you believe God? A strong spirit takes God at his word. If God said, by his stripes you are healed, that strong spirit says, God, I believe. I believe. Yeah. A strong spirit takes God at his word and makes a way for God to move. A strong spirit will do whatever it takes. Faith in God will do whatever it takes to get the job done. Amen? Therefore, having a strong spirit keeps the door open for God to move in our lives. Now, how many of you know that it is important as ministers and leaders, we're all ministers, we're all leaders here, right? Who are advancing God's kingdom, to be strong in all facets and all dimensions of our lives. Yeah. To be strong in spirit, to be strong physically, to be strong mentally, right? We need to be strong in all of these areas of our lives. You know, the Apostle Paul declares in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, or in the power of his ability, God's ability. Notice he says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord. Yeah. In your relationship that you have with God. Right? And in the power of his might, his ability. Now notice that Paul makes it clear that our true source of power and strength is not in ourselves. It's not in ourselves. It's not in somebody else. It's not in anything else. But our true source of strength is clearly in God, in Christ. Yeah. Amen. Repeat after me. God is my source.
God is my source.
He is the source.
He is the source.
My source of strength. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Yes, he is. You know, I believe everyone here tonight have a desire to be strong spiritually and fit for God's kingdom. How many of you desire that? We all do, right? But you know, did you ever notice that it's in times of painful crisis and trouble that we truly see what we as believers are made of?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. I mean, it's not something bad, but it's in times of crisis and trouble that we begin to see what we're really made of. Yeah? When we talk about faith, right? When we're going through crisis, do we really believe what we believe in those times that we face? You know, I mean, it's good. It's a good indicator to see if we're strong in this area. And God, I need help in this area. You know, Holy Spirit, I need help in this area. And that's okay. God can work with that. Right? But it's in times of adversity we begin to see what we're really made of. You know? It's in times of great adversity that you discover the condition of your spirit. Praise God. Amen. You know, I remember this is like 30, I don't know how long ago. Long ago, I remember a varsity game that we had played against St. Anthony Trojans, right? And they had scored a touchdown towards the last minutes of the second quarter was 0-0, and they did a halfback quick pitch to the right, and they were able to run in the end zone. So as they were getting ready to set up the kicking to do the extra point, you know, the extra point. And I was playing a middle linebacker, and when they called the kicker called the hot for the ball, I remember blitzing right through the middle, and I realized I went through the middle, and I was standing right in front of the kicker. I go, wow, I'm going to block this kick. So I lift up my hands, and what the kicker did was he kicked the ball full on, and the football went right into my gut. And you ever had the wind knocked out of you? I mean, I got the wind knocked out of me right there. I mean, I remember one time we were at the park. You remember those swings you used to play? I don't see swings no more at the park. And we used to ride the swing and go as high as we could go and then launch off. You know, crazy things we used to do. I remember one time I launched off and I fell wrong. My knee hit my gut. It's like you just want to just curl up and just disappear, right? The pain. But that's what happened to me. The guy kicked the ball right in my gut. And I just felt like, I felt like just laying down on the field and say, you know what, coach, I quit. And I just wanted to say, everybody, just leave me alone. Take off my pads and just lay there. But I couldn't do that. I wanted to do that. I felt like doing that, you know. But I remember holding my gut. I was telling myself, if I can just make it to the back to the bench, I'll be fine. And everybody's patting me on the back and say, oh, you blocked it, you blocked it. And I'm there groaning, you know. Nobody knows what's going on. And I finally made it to the bench. I sat down. Took a few minutes, and I was able to get my wind back. I was like, wow. Man, that was painful. But how many of you know that sometimes in life we can get our wind knocked out? Amen. I mean, that's just life, right? And sometimes when we get the wind knocked out of us, you know, we have something happens unexpectedly. And you go, wow, where did that come from? You know? And we've all had life's winds knocked out of us. And some of us, we've been blindsided by an unpredictable crisis where everything seemed to be falling apart, such as a sudden passing of a loved one, an illness in the family, a separation in marriage, a loss of a job. And you know, these things can be a great discouragement when things go wrong, right? Even when you're trying to do the right thing, things go wrong. These are great times of stress when our load seems heavier than we can bear. And we've all been there, right? Yeah. And that's why we have to develop a strong spirit, because life happens to all of us. It does. And if you have a strong spirit, you can look at these things and be able to stand and weather them through, no matter how tough it is, especially when the pain is real, you know, and you want to just roll up in a fetal position and just quit and just say, I'm done, right? But praise God, the Holy Ghost is inside of you. You've got God's DNA inside of you that says you don't quit or you cannot quit. Right? As much as you want to quit, it's like you can't. Because it's not in us as born-again believers. Praise God. Aren't you glad Jesus never quit on us? Amen. I mean, we'd be all in bad trouble if Jesus says, you know what, God, I'm out of here. You know? I'm grateful. You know, especially when there's times of stress, when the load seems heavier than we can bear. The task ahead is more than we can handle. And these are the times we need to find strength in the Lord. When these guys, how about the false missile alert? You know, how about that one? I mean, times of crisis. where, you know, we're threatened with fear.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality.
Yeah.
Right? The what ifs. How about that Category 4 hurricane?
Yeah.
You know, all of these things that occur in life, how are we as Christians to react and to respond to these adverse situations that happen to all of us? Just because we're Christians, we're not nullified from all of these things. Yeah. But God has given us, equipped us how to deal with this, how to respond to these things in the right way, in faith, to be strong in our spirit. You know, I was thinking about this, about the fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to continue on Sunday. We're going to be talking about the fruit of kindness. I was asking the Lord, okay, I know you want us to be fruitful. And I know how to be, and you said if we abide in you, we remain in you, this is how we develop our fruit, just to remain in Christ. Yeah, a fruit. And fruit will be produced if we remain in Christ, because he's the true vine, we're the branches, and the branches don't produce the fruit, we just bear fruit as we stay connected to him. So I was asking him, what is the whole idea of being fruitful? What is the whole idea of being like you? Right? You ever thought about things like that? But if you read towards the end of that verse in John 15, verses 1, he says that he wants us to be fruitful so that the Father will be glorified. So that if your life is fruitful, if your life is revealing Christ, people will look at your life and say, man, there's a real God. There's a real God, because your life tells me the way you're living your life and the fruit that you are producing, man, there is a real God because of you.
Amen.
So I go, oh, okay, Lord, I can see. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, I think things like that, you know. Yeah. So we're developing a strong spirit. So in 1 Samuel chapter 30, in verses 1 through 6, you can turn there. We're talking about developing a strong spirit. And even through adverse situations and crisis, that we can always press through these things that occur in life. We don't have to bow down. We don't have to fold. We don't have to quit. We don't have to hide. We don't have to back down, but we can continue progressing forward in Christ. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 6, we see David and his men, 600 men. Now, these 600 men were men that David trained. I mean, these were warriors. And they had just came back from war. David and his men had gone to help the king of the Philistine king, Achish. They were going to go to war. The Philistines were going to go to war. And David and his men went to help this king. He had a great rapport with this king. And all the commanders of the Philistine army were saying, why do you have David here? I mean, he's the guy that killed Goliath, our warrior. And now he's behind us. And the king says, no, he's here to help us. And the general says, we don't trust him. Because if we go to war, he might just turn on us. Just tell David and his men, go back home. We don't need his help. So King Achish tells David, guys, David, I know you're faithful. You've honored me, but my commanders are saying this. You need to go. So David said, okay, let's go. So on the way back going to home to Ziklag, 3 days prior to that, the Amalekites came to his hometown and ransacked his hometown while he was doing a good work. Notice that. Isn't that like the enemy,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So as they're coming back, they had their town attacked, ravaged, raided, and burnt in Ziklag, their home. And to add fuel to the fire, the Amalekites had taken captives the wives, both young and old, the sons, and the daughters as well. Upon realizing what had happened, David and his men, who were warriors now, these were grown men. The Bible says they began to weep. I mean, they're not just weep, they began to weep aloud. I mean, because of what happened. Their wives were taken, their children were taken, everything that they had, their ability, their legacy was taken, the ability to procreate was taken, and they began to weep. They began to weep. And after they were done weeping, they began to look at David and say, you know, if you're the guy. I mean, if you didn't tell us go over there, we would have been here, and none of this would happen. Right? How many of you know misery loves company? How many of you know hurting people hurt people? Yeah. It's always easy in a crisis to blame somebody. Amen? Amen. And in verse 6, I want to look at verse 6. The Bible says David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Actually, they wanted to kill him. Yeah, that's what stoning is. Each one was bitter in their spirit because of his sons and daughters. But notice it says, but. Everybody say, but. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself. How many of you know sometimes there's not going to be somebody to help you, to strengthen you? So a strong spirit finds a way to strengthen themselves in the Lord. Yeah, it does what it takes when nobody's there to help you, right? And that's what David was doing. He began to, and that's a good leader. He began to encourage. I mean, he could have said, you know what? I was there. I lost two of my wives too. You know, my two of my wives was taken. I was there with you guys. I don't need this. I'm out of here. You know? He could have said that, but the Bible says he encouraged himself in God. Notice that. And when I thought about that, how did he encourage himself in the Lord? And I began to think about David's life. And I believe that David encouraged himself in the Lord when he began to remember and to remind himself how faithful God was in delivering him from the lion, from the bear, when he was watching his father's sheep. He began to remind himself, God, I remember you was with me when the bear came and I took it out. And I remember when the lion came, and he was just a young boy, a shepherd boy. The lion came and I took him out. So he's encouraging himself. He's reminding himself. He's remembering what the Lord has done for him. How many of you know we got to remind ourselves of what the Lord has done for us? Yeah, you know, the children of Israel, they forgot. I mean, they complained. I mean, 3 days after God delivered them to the Red Sea, I mean, they were shouting. Miriam was shouting the timbrels. You know, horse and rider was thrown into the sea. And then a few days later, they don't have water, and now they're grumbling. Amen. They're complaining to Moses. Not realizing, complaining to Moses, God hears everything, right? He hears their grumbling. But here David begins to remind himself. I believe David encouraged himself. He begins to remind himself how that God delivered this huge man called Goliath, an uncircumcised Philistine, into his hands. I mean, talk about the odds, right? A 10-foot giant against a shepherd boy with a slingshot. I mean, talk about the odds of that. So David begins to remind himself, God, I remember when you were there with me. And when I slung that slingshot, boom, you know, one shot, it took him down. So he begins to remind himself. And we need to remind ourselves too. If God did it once, he'll do it again. It reminds us of, despite of where we are, that God is faithful. You know, anytime I get discouraged, I remind myself, I think it was in 2010 on Pastor Carol's birthday, and you guys all remember this because you guys were all part of it, when our eldest daughter was in the ER. We had a crisis situation. The doctors gave her a 25% chance of living. Talk about the odds, right? They had her on a semi-coma, a ventilator. Her body increased 3 times the size. They had 7 IVs in her body. In fact, they shut the emergency room down that night. It was a blue code on the light, signifying everybody in the emergency room, we can't help you, we're going to help this person. There were 6 physicians on her, working on her. And they had to put her in a semi-coma because she was struggling. She was trying to fight for her life. And that automatic response, trying to grab things. So it says, Mr. Haupu, we're going to have to put your daughter in a semi-coma. Put her in a ventilator, you know. And the word of the Lord was, she shall live and not die. And, you know, when we looked at that, we got the wind knocked out of us. Literally. I mean, I felt my knees shaking, literally. I was so weak, but knew we had to be strong. And the moment that we said that we need to be strong, Lord, the Holy Ghost gave us that supply to be strong. There was a grace that was available to be strong. And we were contemplating of having her shipped to Oahu, because we thought that there were better physicians there. And lo and behold, the favor of God, our daughter worked at one of the medical centers in Kihei. The head doctor there was there with her and says, no, I will personally take charge of this whole situation. You don't have to send your daughter to Oahu. I'll make it a point that everything will be run fine. Is that right? Is that true? And 12 days later, 25% chance of living, she woke up. I mean, I don't want to go into all the details, it'll take forever, but the Lord healed her.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Pastor Wayne and Robin came up that one day and released the anointing in her body. And I remember my hand was by her right feet. The anointing went in, it went through her body, came to her feet, went into my hand. I felt it, and I went like that. And I tell you what, this thing called Streptococcus type A septus was no match against the anointing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
But,
thank you.
Talking about having a strong spirit, you know. But there's some other things we have to do. But we need to remind ourselves of those times where God has shown himself strong.
Amen.
So that will continue to encourage us, right?
Amen.
And that we stay encouraged in him. And that's what David was doing. He began to remind himself of God's faithfulness. And it's in those times when we get discouraged, what happens is discouraged is to lose courage, right? We need to be encouraged. So David encouraged himself in the Lord, remembering how God delivered him from an uncircumcised Philistine giant called Goliath. Now, talking about a strong spirit and a weak spirit, the most simple way I can describe the difference between a strong spirit and a weak spirit is in what do you feed it, right? You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
You are what you eat. Well, the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. You are what you eat. What are you feeding on? Are you feeding your faith? Feeding your faith and starving your doubts. You know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, how many of you know you can have faith in your heart, which is good, but you can also have doubt in your mind? But that's good. You don't want to have doubt in your heart. But if you have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind, that's good. That's a good place. In Mark 11:22, Jesus says, have faith in God, right? If you will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not have doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say, right? So we don't want to have doubt in our heart, but we want faith in our heart. So we want to feed our faith and starve our doubts. Amen? Now, if you're feeding your spirit man fear, doubt, and unbelief by what we watch, what we listen, or what we read, because these are the eye gates, right? This is how we gather information through our eyes and through our ears. And if we're watching things that feed our fear and doubts, guess what? It's coming in to our spirit, right? And the thing is, if we're doing that, then when trouble or pain comes knocking at your door, and how many of you know it will come? Yeah, it will come. And it will overcome you if that's what you're feeding your spirit. You know, Job made this statement, Job. He said, the greatest thing that I feared came upon me. Right? And it did. Now, how about we say the greatest thing that we faith can come upon us as well? We can reverse that, right? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, natural food, but by every word, spiritual food that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we need to feed our spirit faith food on God's word in order to be strong. See, God's word is our spiritual food, and it contains the proper nutrients for building a strong spirit. So if you want a strong spirit, you got to feed on the word of God. Yep. Feed on God's word. In fact, the word of God, the seed of God's word, was meant to be deposited in your spirit. And your spirit is the only place that word can grow. No place else. Yeah, right? In Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, we're talking about food for our spirit, right? The word of God. Let's see. I'll just give you a real quick rundown. This is the first place we see the word manna. And manna was, how can I put it? It was God's provision that he would rain bread from heaven. He would provide for his people. Now, it's amazing how, although the Israelites were always rebelling against God, God always wanted to take care of them and provide for them despite of what they were doing and how they were reacting to him. So God says, you know what? They were grumbling to Moses and saying, man, we remember all the meat we're... And they were in slavery, right? They were in Egypt. But they're complaining now because now that they're free and they're having to trust God for their supply, so they're grumbling and saying, man, remember when we were in Egypt? We had enough meat. We had enough food. I mean, we could eat all that we wanted. And now we don't have anything. But yet, and then God hears that and he says, tells Moses, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to rain down bread from heaven, which is manna. And God begins to give them instructions and tells them they ought to go out every day and pick up an omer of manna. In fact, the word manna is, what is it? Right? Manhu. What is it? That's the word manna is. What is it? Manna. What is it? Manna. Manhu. But it was they call it angel food or coriander. It was like a wafer, and that they would grind it in and make a cake or bread. It has a flavor of honey, but it was the food that God provided for them. And they were to go out every day, and God would rain it down, and they would pick up X amount of it. An omer was about 9 ounces per person. And when it came the day before Sabbath, they were to gather double of that, twice as much, because Sunday was the day of Sabbath. God would not rain down manna on Sunday. It was a day that they would worship God. And God did this to test them, to see if they were obedient to what he gave them the instructions. And you'd still have some of them going out on Sunday looking for manna, although they had given the instruction. And then some still took more than what they needed, and it turned to worms. See? But the point is, they had to go every morning and gather the manna. So the manna is the type of the Word of God. So just as the Israelites had to go out every day and gather manna or bread, we have to spend every day in the Word of God. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. So this word is the manna for you and I. Yes. In fact, the Bible says that there was not one feeble or sick one amongst them, as long as they ate the manna. But then they started hungering for meat. They started craving for meat. And God was providing them manna, which was sustaining them. Can you imagine that eating manna or the Word of God, it says there was not one feeble or sick among them, as long as they were feeding on the manna. In fact, their clothes didn't even wear out. They had the same clothes. Isn't that a trip, ladies? I mean, if you had a size whatever, it was the same size and never wore out. That was supernatural. But it was feeding on manna or feeding on the Word. We have to go every day. We have to come and feed on this every day because we're developing a strong spirit. Yeah. Amen. And you know what happens is when you develop a strong spirit, I mean, you begin to have this barrier around you where when sickness tries to come, man, you're able to resist that. You're able to recognize it and resist it. When an attack of the enemy comes, you can recognize that, and you're able to stand against that. You know, it's not like you look, you go, wow, this is too much for me. No, because you've been spending time in the Word, your relationship with God, building yourself up, you're able to be able to resist. You know, I've always wondered the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant or be alert. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in faith. And I've also often wondered who was the ones that the devil could devour. And those were the ones who were weak in spirit, that who could not resist him, Right? But the strong in spirit would have the power and ability to resist him. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will what? He will run in terror. Yeah. Because he knows that you're strong in God, in Christ. So I don't want to be devoured by the devil. So therefore, I want to develop a strong spirit so that I can resist him. You know, it takes a strong spirit to resist temptations. Yeah. It takes a strong spirit to be able to share your faith with somebody else and not to be embarrassed about it. Yeah. Not to be ashamed. It takes a strong spirit to not be ashamed and say, hey, can I pray with you? Can I share Christ with you? Yeah. And that's why we want to develop a strong spirit. Amen?
Amen.
But sadly, instead of feeding on God's word, which has tremendous spiritual value and substance, many Christians spend a lot of time feeding on other things, like television, the internet, Facebook, entertainment. You know, these types of food feeds and affects your spirit with fear and doubt and all kinds of things, right? But here's the point I want to make. These things, you might say, well, these things really don't hurt my spirit. But it does. And just like a poor diet, these things can have life-threatening effects on your spirit as well. If you're watching, you're spending more time on all of these other things because they don't have eternal value. They don't have substance that is helping you spiritually, right? I mean, I like to watch the games, you know. Not like before. I don't spend all day watching the games. I'll just glance real quick because they don't have any substance for my life. You know, they don't have any value. You know, you watch the game, you cheer, and then that's it. And that's fine, you know. But we also need to have time in the Word and spend time with the Lord as well. Every believer has the potential to stand in a greater place of supernatural strength. Do you know that? As we build a strong spirit, things will become easier. We become in a place to be able to receive. We come in a place we're able to resist and stand when we develop a strong spirit. Now, let's see, what time? Let me share with you real quick some of the indicators of a strong spirit. What are some of the indicators of a strong spirit? One of the indicators that you have a strong spirit is that you are assured and confident. You are assured and confident to what God says in His Word is true. I mean, you don't second guess the Word. You believe what the Word says. You believe the God of the Word and the Word of God. And that you believe that the Word of God will come to pass in your life. I remember years ago, and you might relate to this, I could pray for people for healing, but I couldn't receive healing for myself. And I remember teaching healing one time, and the Lord says, you got to learn about healing yourself. You know? How many of you felt like that? I mean, you can believe for people, but when it came for yourself, whether it's finances, healing, whatever, you know, you couldn't believe for yourself. So you have to believe that God's word is true for yourself. You know? And you see what happens when you're able to pray for people. When you believe God, it'll be much more powerful. And you see more fruit in that. And what will happen is you approach life with confidence and certainty. And you will not struggle with fear or doubt. Numbers 23 verse 19. I'm reading from the Message. It says, God is not a man. Amen. How many of you know God is not a man? He's God, right?
Amen.
One given to lies. And not a son of man changing his mind. Does he speak and not do what he says? Does he promise and not come through? God says what he means and he means what he says. God cannot lie. Number two, indicators of a strong spirit, you are established and immovable. I think in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, he that hears my word and does it, I liken him unto a wise man, right, who built his house on the rock. He who hears my word and does it, I liken him unto a wise man. How many of you want to be wise? Yeah, I do. So I got to not only hear his word, but also do it. And he says, you're wise when you hear my word and do it. And I liken you unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. Right? When you think about a rock, I mean, that rock is immovable. It's strong. Right? It's solid. It cannot be broken. And it's referring to Jesus, the rock of our salvation. You know? And the Bible says that the storms of life will come. The winds will come. The storms will come. The rains come. The flood came. But that house stood. It did not fall. And then he goes on, he says, he who hears my word and does not do it, I liken him unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Right? Now we know the characteristic of sand. I mean, it's soft, it's not stable. Right? I mean, I wouldn't want to build my house on sand. Right? So the one who hears it and does not do it, he likens him unto a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the same storm that came with the other guy, same storms, the rain, the floods, but this time, because of this house was built on the sand, I mean, it fell, and Jesus says, great was the fall. Amen? So, indicator of a strong spirit is that you are established, that you are immovable. If your spirit is strong, you will not be afraid of any kind of bad news or anything the devil tries to throw at you. You are fixed. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. So you are fixed. The Hawaiians say pa. Everybody say pa. You're stuck. You can't be moved. You're stuck on the word. You're stuck on the Lord. And you cannot be talked out of it.
Amen.
Let's see. Let's throw one more. Number three, indicators of a strong spirit. You are ready for anything. You're locked and loaded and ready to go at all times. It's not like you have the whole armor of God on. You're ready. You're engaged. Right? When comes time for the battle, it's like, hey, Larry, you saw my helmet. You saw my shield, you know? I mean, you're ready. I mean, you're fully armored. It's not like something, you know, you lost, you can't find your armor, you can't find your shoes, you can't find your belt of truth, you know? I mean, just picture that. Somebody's not fully dressed for war. I mean, that's kind of like a comedy, right? But you're ready for anything. A strong spirit doesn't mean you don't have any trials come your way. It just means that you know how to handle them when they do come. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to read the Amplified. This is pretty cool. The Amplified says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confidence with peace, confident peace. When I read that, confident peace, what is confident peace? Confident peace is God telling me everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Despite of what he's going through.
Yeah.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Daddy's got you covered.
Yeah.
Number four, you have an overcoming, to have a strong spirit, you have an overcomer's attitude. How many of you know your attitude makes all the difference? In fact, if you have a good attitude, your trial is pretty much done with. Yeah. But if you have a bad attitude, that trial, that tribulation, whatever you're facing, is going to last forever until you change your attitude. So you have an overcome attitude. You know you are more than a conqueror. You know that you are more than a conqueror. You know that. And you apply that mentality in your everyday life. Not that you're bold, you're confident with that attitude, or, you know, you're not arrogant, right? Because you know who you are in Christ. But you have this confidence that you don't quit. There's no quit in you. That's what I'm saying. You know, you always overcome. You know, you don't stop. You don't quit. You're like that ever-ready battery, yeah? Keeps on ticking. You don't allow anything to get you down. You don't tolerate sickness, disease, or lack in your life. And you are firmly planted on the Word of God. And lastly, you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. When you have a strong spirit, you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, the nature, the character, or the traits, or the personality of the Holy Spirit. A strong spirit lives out love, joy, peace. Last Sunday we heard two of the fruits, joy and peace, Pastor Carol ministered on, right? A strong spirit lives out love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You don't just say, I believe in love. You show love. Yeah? You won't say you should have joy, but you live it every day. You live in joy. Praise God. So this is how we... there's more, but we can continue. But we are learning how to develop a strong spirit, that we're fortitude, we're strong, and that no matter what we face, although we sometimes we feel weak in ourselves, that in God, in Christ, that God gives us the grace and the strength to prevail in all these situations. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You receive the word tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Well, thank you for receiving.